You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my returning guest is Nalini McNabb. Nalini is the luminary behind Chalice of Wisdom. She is internationally known as a transformational seer and wisdom carrier, and incarnate or embodiment of the Great Mother. Her ability to access multidimensional information comes directly from Source. The focus of the transmissions and alignments that come through Nalini is that we all have the same Source connection. We came here to express divinity in a symphony of amazingly beautiful yet diverse harmonies. Look to nature for your examples. Snowflakes, leaves, cherry blossoms, no two are ever the same, and they are all perfect. Her new book is just out and is called Walk a New Way. It's available on Amazon Books and on her website, where she has written a series of ebooks and articles at www.chaliceofwisdom.com. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Nalini. How are you?
Hi, Lance. It's really good to be back. Thank you. I'm well.
Good. So let's kind of go back a bit into your book, because I'm kind of curious. I usually read the guest book before the show, so I apologize for not being fully brief. But, you know, I usually have it under my belt, and I know what I'm talking about. So since I don't, what inspired you to write the book, and what is it about?
Okay. Well, it's what inspired me to write it. Inspiration is an interesting word, because I'll start with what it's about. It's actually, they call it a spiritual memoir. I don't know why they call these things, but what it is the story of the last 7 to 10 years as awakenings and embodiment have unfolded for me, and how that happened, along with and sort of in concert with the transitions that the whole world is going through. Some of the experiences, how, you know, one life dissolved completely. And I mean, awareness had done that ahead of time, but then, you know, it really translated into the physical life, which it does when one embodies. And as far as why I wrote the book, I really had no intention of doing so. I know that everyone's awakenings, everyone's journey is unique. And, you know, no two are ever going to be the same. So my take on it was sort of what would be the point. But several of the people, quite a few of them actually, who sit with me or study with me or that I mentor or whatever, were asking, you know, the same question over and over. Well, but how did you get here? Not meaning a place or this or that, but sort of how did all this happen? And when you get asked the same question over and over, after a while, you start to think, gee, you know,
right.
Maybe an answer would be good. So, so I was sitting with it. I was meditating one day, and Source just said, well, you know, sort of write the effing book, right? You know, and chunks of it I had written in, you know, various blogs and little articles and things like that over the years. And so I thought, oh, this is going to be a no-brainer. Well, it was definitely a no-brainer, but not the way I thought. I sat down and started to pull material together, and it was one of those things that happens when we really are there fully present with Source. And you're saying, okay, I'll pull this in. And she says, nope. And you say, well, you know, I'll pull this in. Nope. Well, I'll pull this in. Nope, not that. And that, after a while, you're like, okay, I think there's a better way to do this. I'm just going to sit here and channel it, because, you know, much less time consuming. And so that, I mean, that's kind of how it all came together. And it begins in 2005 with a trip that I took to France and a vision that I had there, because that was actually the beginning of the cycle that I'm describing. I'm describing a particular cycle for myself and for what was going on the planet. And then it flashes back to a birth experience, some childhood or growing up experiences that are sort of germane to things that happen and unfold later in the story. And then it picks back up from 2005 and comes through the last, 11 or 12 years of the unfoldings, the new embodiment and the new adventures that sort of happened and are happening now. So.
So what was the vision in France?
That was, I went on a trip with a friend of mine to Provence, to the Languedoc region, and we spent a week there immersed in those energies, and there was a very specific trip we were going to take, and that was to Rennes-le-Château. And that,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. It's very special. It is a multidimensional, interdimensional, between the worlds, unbelievable spaceport portal, whatever you want to call it. I mean, all the mystics in the audience will like be like, oh, that place.
That's it.
So the first story, the book begins with that experience, and the vision that I had was of walking as two beings. Now, I'm not new to visions. I've had them all my life. You know, I'm very, very well acclimated to walking in the mystical. You know, being in altered states is kind of like, oh, what's normal?
Right.
So, right. You know, not a big deal, right?
Right.
But this one, a friend and I went, and as we started to approach the tower, you know, the actual site, of course the energy steps up. It goes up in those waves that everybody feels as they approach it, you know, any one of us who are sensitive. And we got up into the car park area, and of course everything was all starting to turn into light. And again, I'm, you know, pretty cool with that. But I was walking across the parking lot and going, okay, I'm going to get my little admission ticket and walk in. And then it was as though I had just been taken behind the shoulder blades, which is one of Source's favorite things with me. It's just give me a good shove between the shoulder blades, like this way, please. And so I think there had just been a tour bus that emptied out or something, but there were all these people going into the infamous chapel. And it was the last place my body wanted to go. So I let myself be just drawn upwards. And through the garden where there's a very special tree, and we had a nice conversation. And then going up the tower, and in the tower itself, the one that takes you up to the top, there was such a strong up current. It really felt like being caught in rapids or just, you know, this whoosh of energy going up. And, you know, I stopped to take a few pictures out of the windows because, you know, portal pictures are just a real special thing for me. You know, they're great. So I was really wanting to do that. And I kept my camera. It was like, no, I'm going to get pushed up this staircase. So, you know, I'm going to try and take this, but too fast. So I went up and I was walking along the ramparts and getting more and more dissolved and a little more wobbly on my feet. And so I walked over and put my hands on the, you know, warming stone. It was early morning, and looked out across, you know, there's a 360-degree view up there. It's really beautiful. Looked out across the valley and over to this one hill, and I thought, there's something interesting over there. There's another ruin there. It's a little bit lower. And then I kind of let it go, and I kept walking along the rampart, and then I turned to come back, and right at this specific moment, a little gecko ran across the toe of my sandal. And so I stopped, just not to step on the little guy, right?
Right.
And noticed that and went, okay, that's interesting. Kept walking, and then I turned and I walked back, and at the exact same spot, a little white butterfly flew right across at eye level, just, you know, an inch in front of my face. Yeah. And so I said, okay, this is just a little too much, like, signs not to, you know, notice. So I, again, turned, I was just a foot or so from it toward the wall, the rampart, and put my hands on it and said, all right, let's ground into the stone. And the stone was very obliging. It held me quite well. And I looked out across and I was facing this ruined, I don't know, fort or chateau or whatever it is on the hill below. And I was seeing it in the etheric, fully in, you know, sort of the otherworldly vision. And what I was watching was that it was being laid siege to. Mm. There was an army surrounding it, and it was besieged. And I was watching this, and just with complete complacency and complete peace. There's no reactivity whatsoever. And at that time, I sort of looked down, and my sandals had changed. And I thought, oh, well, okay, I'm pretty altered. That's all right. And then I sort of looked around, and instead of my, khaki trousers and my little sleeveless shirt and my camera bag, I was wearing blue robes and a light blue mantle, and my hair was all down my back, which, it was, I had tied it up that morning, and, like a good hiker. Mm. And it was just completely different. And I thought, wow, this is a whole other embodiment that I'm standing here in. And what I heard, which is the voice that I hear from source, but what I heard inwardly was just watch with me. Mm. And so I watched the siege happen. And at a certain point, the castle or the chateau fell. It was invaded. And the information that came through, you know what I mean, that the not in words information, but it was, okay, time to go. Yeah. And it was just very calm, but it was this other presence. It was like, all right, time to leave, time to remove the presence. That's too close. Oh. And so I turned around and I walked back down along the rampart, walked back down the tower, which wasn't trying to updraft me this time, out through the garden and then out the front gate. And I think one of the people who had, come with me that day may have called out to me. I really don't remember. I walked down. There's a path that spirals down around the base of the tower. And so I was walking down that path and watching as I'm phasing, and I'm phasing in between these blue robes and like her sandals and then the khaki trousers and my sandals. And I'm kind of going, oh, this is cool, walking down this path. And I sat for a minute just in these beautiful tree roots that are at the base of this path and put my back up against the stone wall. And I thought, okay, let me just ground here for a few minutes and started to feel more balanced, got up after a bit, started to walk back up around, and the same thing was happening. And I didn't feel out of balance or anything, but I was phasing in and out of this other being. Mm-hmm. And it was so clear that, on the one hand, could it have been Magdalena? Was it probably? Yes, I think so. But it was just the Great Mother's energy in that form. And the one minute I had a camera bag over my shoulder, the next minute I had a sheaf of flowers in my hands. Mm. And I was walking, up this trail with just feeling this love for this place and how absolutely altering it is. The updraft there is phenomenal.
Wow.
So I walked back up and I was sitting looking out the opposite direction, just sitting sort of on one of the walls to the car park and waiting for everyone else to gather. And I thought, well, okay, that's interesting because the gecko, that's lizard medicine, and the butterfly, that's transformation. So dreaming and transformation. And then this message to just remove the presence, like, because that's too close. That war energy is too close. And I was sitting with it and said, okay, I'm being taught, but what? What is this teaching me? And her voice came through so clearly. She said, Magdalena did not engage with Peter or the church, nor did she run from it. She simply removed the presence from its grasp. She said, you need not engage these energies, nor confront them, nor, deal with them in any form. Simply honor the presence within and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And that vision began, it integrated over time as they do, and that began this cycle of, about 12 years, how those are, of this walking away from everything. My old life was about to explode, implode, dissolve, leave me, and otherwise obliterate. little did I know that, but it wasn't unexpected, that happened.
Right.
And then it was also being taken through visiting some places in the physical and some places through inner journeying, where I was picking up termas, I was picking up information I had left on this world and others, other in-between places that pertained to specific traditions even. You know, it's like taking things from the Vedas that are near and dear to my heart and saying, yes, the truth is there, but the tradition, the path, the way of walking needs to clear. And into other traditions of Buddhism, which, again, near and dear to my heart, and just saying, no, you know, not touching the truth here, but look at all the forms. They all need to dissolve. Mm-hmm. And the message kept being, and that's what kept happening, walk away, walk away. Mm-hmm. And it took years before I really integrated that it wasn't so much walk away, although that was what was necessary. It was walk a new way, because that is what embodiment is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, of course, Buddha said to walk the middle path, and that's, you know, to me that means, not doesn't necessarily mean you're right on the middle. It means you could be walking an extreme on the right and an extreme on the left, and the average is, you know, you end up in the middle. But, you know, ideally, the observer doesn't get involved with what's going on here. You know, it's the part of us that can see and remain impartial and without judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
So then after, that's extremely powerful. I mean, that's amazing information. And I know one of the videos that I watched included Michael St. Clair, who did a show from there. And that's when I first heard about the chateau. And it was just, you know, it was mind-blowing, you know, the things that exist here right under our noses that we can't see, that are here for us to partake of, or for those of us who have chosen to walk that path. And apparently you're here to, in part, to share, you know, your experiences and show people how to walk a new way.
That seems to be the case.
hence the title of your book.
yes, exactly. And that seems to be my current gig. So,
it's subject to change at any moment.
Yes, of course. We can always be reassigned.
Right. So how do you view, since that experience and the 12 years in between, what have you come to understand about what direction humanity, or much of humanity, is taking? And, you know, we hear so much about timelines and this and that and the other thing, and various things going on that are supposedly affect everybody, and then some say that, you know, not everybody is destined for the jet, that some will be taking the train and some will be walking. So how do you perceive this particular period of time, which most have called the period of harvest, the harvest time?
Yeah, it's an interesting expression. It really depends on which lens of perception I'm looking through at any moment. But to look at what's going on, or what's going on over the last 12 years, I think it's more sort of the peeling away, I don't know, you could use all of the different metaphors and any one of them would be correct. What I perceive at the moment, especially this year, this is an incredible year. And this time we're in right now, this eclipse window, I mean, they happen twice a year, every year, but this is a really interesting one with all of the astrology involved, where it is a major, I mean, every eclipse window like this, where there are bookended eclipses, it's a reset point. It's a walk in the in-between, a walk between the worlds. They're all like that. This one is really amazing because it fits into what I've seen about this year. Is this year is like this huge ramp, you know, like like a boat ramp or something, but it's going upward. And it, and the notches in it, which, you know, on a physical structure are to keep the wheels from rolling backward, are really these little turbo boosters. So we've had one at each of the, you know, equinox and solstice points, and those that will continue. We've had them at the cross quarters. This particular eclipse is a major reset point. And what these are is opportunities to have, you know, have the obliteration button hit. The solstice in June was an official, if there's a word for that in spirit, obliteration point. So if we allowed it to the extent that we allowed it, and in the way that I see it, anything that has gone before or was set up to happen in the future that simply won't further wherever it is we want to go, our evolution or whatever, it was obliterated. It was wiped out. Mm-hmm. And that's partly why so many people are in just total absolute freak out mode right now in the world, whether they admit it or not, is because the energetic foundations of anything that anybody was counting on that was going to stay the same or keep them on the same old, you know, timeline, track, trajectory, path or whatever is gone.
Right. Right.
And yeah, they could create it again, although that's going to be really tough. That's probably going to take more energy than anybody has to try and keep anything the same. That's probably a takeout card, you know.
Right.
So there's that. And then we'll go into this in between is a reset, another reset after that. But it's a refinement. It's more like the sorting hat or the sieving of, okay, well, you know, there's some things that could just be removed from the pot. There's some things that you don't need. And it's, on the one hand, it's more gentle, but where we are right now, and I've seen, and it happened for me, is it's taking us to this place where whatever the seed form is of something that was incepted for this lifetime, it's particular to this incarnation, that was set up as parametric. It set up the parameters and the filters for this life, but that it simply won't fly in the new energies. It has gotten triggered just off the hook on steroids, whatever. It's just whatever any of us has. There's always, it's one thing. There's a whole bunch of permutations. It'll have all its little vignettes and montages and everything else from our whole life, you know. But right. It's this thing and that created an opening for something to keep us in line, to keep us on the path or, you know, on purpose or whatever it is we want to call it. And it also was set in the cycle of martyrdom, which was the last cycle up until mid or late 2011, the foundational energy of the cycle we were in was martyrdom. So big metals for pain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know?
And then that ended. And now the foundation is love, light, sound, joy, abundance, you know, which is how new creation. And it's, you know, none of the old martyrdom coding, scaffolding, templates or whatever will work in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll hit it and they'll just fwazz completely. They'll freak out or they'll be obliterated or sink or whatever it is that they do because they can't survive there. So, you know, this eclipse time has hit that seed form in all of us that says, well, you set these parameters up, these filters up in order to have a martyrdom foundation experience. It won't work here. So here's the trigger to show you and offer you a choice point. You know, and they're infinite. Realities proceed from any choice point to as just to whether you want to let it go or not. Whether you want to let it obliterate, great, then everything is open to you. And your resonance will choose, you know, the pathing, the weave, the templates, the scripting, whatever that shows up for you. It's basically openings. And if you don't want to let go, well, that's where your comment about, you know, some people will take the jet and some people will have the train and some people will take the bus and others will go on foot. And what I observe about this time is this is a setup for the equinox, which is going to be, it's like a big trampoline with a rocket booster under it. We're going to take a big bounce. And then for the solstice in December, it's just, there's just another updraft similar to the one we talked about being at Wren. And it's just going to open the octaves of light like a huge accordion, you know, just open it all up. And it's not that one end is higher or lower. It's a range. you know, perceptual array of vibrational frequencies and available realities. And some will choose some and some will choose others. Some are slower than others. Some are faster. And, you know, for those of us who vibrate pretty quickly, our realities are torture for people who vibrate more slowly or walk a different way.
Right.
And vice versa.
Right.
So it's good. This is a good thing that it's all splitting. And it's not fracturing, though. It's still all part of the one. It's still all part of wholeness. But the realities are splitting. And we will, in our different pockets of experience that we've designed here, have very, very different experiences for the rest of this incarnation than maybe some others, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is splitting.
And of course, you know, go ahead.
No, it's all right. Go ahead, Les.
Oh, well, we are designed, and we are multidimensional beings, so we're actually designed to access everything from the highest to the lowest,
yep.
And that just depends on, you know, what the choices are in the moment. So we've been taught for so long that reality is this, reality is that, and it's all linear and duality, but it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
no.
We can tap into any level that we choose to, and there are no limits as far as I can tell. And so, you know, a lot of people are dreaming about going to 5D and how wonderful that would be, and I just think
yeah.
that's a, you know, that's just another gas station where you might stop off to get some gas to keep going.
Yep.
So,
it's an interesting dimension, but, you know, I mean, it's one out of bazillions. Yeah,
right,
infinite ones.
Right, an infinite array. Yeah. So, you know, why limit yourself?
Exactly.
But, well, exactly. Partially because we're, you know, we have difficulty living without limitations, and we are also accustomed to being told what to do and how things are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
a big part
of the conditioning that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is intentional because we're also food for various entities, and I know you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to keep their hen house intact and their cattle running into the, you know, slaughterhouse. So, but I don't see that happening.
No. No, I mean, at some level, perhaps,
right?
It will keep happening, but it'll keep happening. Actually, you know, I always get told this is a really callous view, but I don't think so. I think it's factual. That will be happening for the beings that are choosing to learn from that.
Right, right.
And it's just that simple. But by and large, no. Those veils are coming off, you know, and the blinders are dropping. And for every one of us who simply is that multidimensional being of light that we are and chooses that, you know, that in that state, in that sort of ownership state, which, you know, it's not egoic ownership. It's the source coming through you, surrendering completely to the light. That can't be owned by anyone or anything.
Right.
But it takes that. It takes stepping into that and practicing it or walking it or living it or whatever. And we all do that in our own ways. So yes, I do feel that is ending, at least in the form that it's been known on this world. And so they're infinite vibrational constructs, you know, reality constructs that we can live within. And we will resonance, vibration, whatever frequencies we are, it's just one way of talking about it.
Right. Right.
That will choose. That will determine how we walk around and what we walk around in.
Right.
Or jump or fly or whatever we do.
Right. Manifest here, there,
exactly.
And everywhere.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny because I like what the Oracle says in the Matrix trilogy when Neo goes to visit her. And she says, well, you already made the choice.
Yes.
You're just coming here to find out why.
Yes, you can't see past the choice you don't understand.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That.
And that's what we're learning. Isn't that great?
Oh, I love it. It's really great. So so today, you're just enjoying wherever you go in the now. And right now, you're talking to me on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. You know, it is kind of strange. But here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, from things that look like they're on the same planet in the same world. And I mean, that is amazing, isn't it? I mean, just the way things appear and the way things are structured so that we believe that there's this linear cohesive thing. I mean, that's some pretty phenomenal coding. That's impressive. You know, then I look out my window here at all the trees and, you know, just the, we had a huge tropical storm go through here earlier. You watch that and you're like, okay, see, now just that's some pretty good design.
Well, doesn't it seem that the organic designs are the best?
Oh, the most, absolutely.
Yeah. Because, of course, there are artificial intelligence designs that are also operating beneath the surface, and I find that those tend to be a little bit mechanical.
Just a tad.
Just a bit.
Yes.
They don't leading corner to stagnation well. And death. But other than that, they're just fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're exactly. Oh, cool.
So, what do you, you don't, do you, I'm take it, you probably don't focus on the particulars of the lower vibrations and densities and what's going on as far as, you know, various control systems on the planet?
Oh, you know, I used to. I used to do a lot of that work for decades, actually. I worked on a lot of that with other people, you know, with myself, mostly within myself, because everything we change within us changes universes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on that a lot, but no, not anymore, because the instruction that I have, and again, it's just me from Spirit right now, is don't focus on anything that you don't want to manifest. You know, focus on the things that you do want to create. And she keeps saying to me, you know, you can create worlds now that you actually might want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Which
right.
is its own gobsmack for some of us. You know, I mean, yes, there's incredible beauty and joy and light here, but, you know, reality constructs have their issues. And it's not that it would be what everybody dreams about, you know, some, you know, Shangri-La utopia, although, you know, I wouldn't be saying no, but
right.
it's, you know, it's not that, it's that there's this whole other experience. And I know, like you do, you know, I walk around like that most of the time. I have a very different experience of reality than most people, or many people. I think there are many of us as well. But no, I don't really spend a lot of time focusing on, you know, what they call the dark side or whatever, because honestly, there is no dark or light. I mean, there's some agendas I'm not not going to be condoning or supporting anytime soon, or ever did. You know, the ones of domination and control, they're not appropriate. And what happened with the cycle shift here is that Gaia, our lovely Earth, also said no for the first time in a long time.
That's this valuable world, to know.
Yeah, this world construct was set up so that, you know, Source always says yes. If you say, I'm a victim, Source says, okay, yes. If you say, I always have plenty, I always have everything I need, Source says, okay, yes, and kind of gets cheered up, you know, because that's more fun, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But as the cycle shifted, Gaia actually made a choice. At least what I observed was that, and said, no, there are certain of these realities, what we would call the darker stuff, the lower vibrations, that I'm simply not going to host us anymore. They will no longer be tolerated here. So there are no new ones being born. The old ones of that ilk are no longer being, will no longer be sustainable. They are no longer being energetically supported. If you look psychically at the foundations, at the underpinnings of some of that stuff, I mean, ping it from a distance, you know,
right, right.
But there's nothing there. And so they can't help doing anything but crumble. You know, that's just all going to fall apart. And that's a lot of what's happening in the world right now. It's just that these, you know, the houses of cards are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of let them and remember that that's all going to turn into light. You know, the ashes will get blown away. The phoenix will resurrect itself in another form. And you know, things will change. So no, mm-hmm. I don't really spend a lot of time with that. I used to, you know, do that stuff and fight those battles. And after a while, you know, you get tired of dragging corpses behind you. It's really wearying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Plus, the more that you spend time doing that, the more you create that reality.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
What you focus on makes it real. And they count on us doing that because everything is seeded with information to snare or and capture or titillate or to get us with a hook and then be fascinated and focus our attention and energy, which is a very real power.
It's a like resource
our energetic
for them,
bank account.
It's very real, yes.
And, you know, when we're spending our internal energetic bank account on things that are just drawing our energy out and not using them, then we don't have that energy for consciousness and for awareness and awake and being awake.
Yes. And ultimately be free. Yes.
Right, right. I mean, even something as simple as unnecessary talk can whittle away your bank account, your energetic bank account.
Yes.
And so being aware of what energy is and being aware that the good, you know, if for those who are intending on becoming more awake and aware and conscious, then it's useful to know those things that use up that energy.
Mm-hmm. Very
and,
useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also good to know what things build it.
I find
that a lot of people don't really, it's investment of energy. And we're all in immersion school right now, like immersion in a new cycle and learning about that. It's like, you know, if there was a deep end of the universe, we've all been thrown in mm-hmm. and it's creates the best, you know, it's that part's just wonderful. It's like, okay, great. You know, let the light take over and move through and show me, you know, light, consciousness, awareness, whatever you want to call it. And just move it through me and do these things through me. And it's kind of like Dr. Seuss, you know, oh, the places you'll go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just have these wonderful things. That's where we need to be investing our energy, because then it pulls you up and then you really don't have any interest in that other stuff anymore.
Right, right. And I think that that's part of the crumbling of the old paradigms is going to be manifest in the financial markets, because so many people are invested in, literally invested in mm-hmm. that as a reality. And
yes.
For them, it's a very solid reality and it's forever and nothing could happen to it. But the fact of the matter is it's not solid and it's a false reality and it's designed
completely
for control and domination. So it's going mm-hmm. to crumble and you know, people are going to be losing everything, probably, that they think they have, you know, but they never had it in the first place. So
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. All that stuff, the whole financial reality, it's numbers. It's ones and zeros in computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't exist. And that, I mean, you know, part of my journey, I never really did fully buy into it, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, we're conditioned by it, and that was part of all that, you know. And I can cheerfully report to most people who are afraid of that, don't be, I went through it, it's not so bad.
Well, now in your book, I just want to ask another question about it. I am curious to know if you set, I know that, how do I want to ask this? I think what I'm trying to ask is, do you empower people through your writing to actually take those steps in a new direction that we're talking about?
My answer is I hope so. The inspiration, as I said, to write the book came directly from Source. And if I do say so myself, it has one heck of a transmission in it.
Oh, I'm going to have to read it now.
Yeah. You'll love it. I know.
Yeah.
Whether you like the story or not, you're going to be digging the energy.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But it just does. I mean, it just, every story in it was to illustrate something. whether it's to be let go of or whether it's a different form that, you know, the infinite is love is the creative energy. It's nothing that humans put on it. And it's, you know, we have this such a limited idea of what that is that I don't even like to use the word that often, but it really is about that, like different stories about different kinds of energy and just all things that happen to me. I mean, the stories are true. You know, the names have been changed to, you know, protect the whatevers.
Right.
But except for a couple of them, a few people wanted their proper names to be used. And then, of course, Roshini, my transitioned terrier companion, you know, completely insisted that her name be accurate.
Nice.
But, yeah. But, yeah, it was the transmissions were designed, created by Source through my story to not only empower but inspire and perhaps be a little bit cathartic in some cases, in a way that just catapults people or anyone reading it. I'm not sure it's always going to be people. In new ways, yes, to just take new steps, take different things. The one thing I can say of this whole transit that I went through is that I went through it without fear. I did not have fear. And I've had so many people say to me with the events that I relate, well, how is that possible? Oh, it's completely through Source. It's because consciousness took over. And
right.
These things that happen. I mean, sure, did I have bad days? Did I have tough days? Did I have angst? Yes. Did I have worry? No. Did I have fear? No.
Right.
And that in itself, hopefully, is an inspiration that these things, that whatever life throws, can be just, you know, walked through in a new way.
right. Well, of course, fear and worry are basically unnecessary.
And good food for all those beings we talked about.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, they like to eat that stuff.
Yeah, it's like, get yourself really inspired and starve them to death. That's a project.
Yes, I like that one. And that's probably why the love, light, and joy paradigm is kind of scoffed and disempowered by some.
Yes.
Because it does remove the food.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It removes the food, and then, you know, not that there isn't plenty already, you know, millions of people worshiping various things and sending their energy out to be consumed by those who would have filet mignon and not McDonald's burgers.
Exactly.
But,
exactly. The more light and power and love that there is, the more these other beings would like that to be turned into the flip side, because that's juicy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's just, yeah, you know, the more that builds up in the world, you know, the faster things will shift. And it's not that sort of sappy whatever paradigm, I don't want to use words, we're all one. Oh, it's all this. Yeah, okay, at the essence level, we're all one, but at the packaging level, forget it.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just, and there's all kinds of inner light tech about that. You know, there are different config files, there are different circles of light, there are different organizations, there are different, I mean, I don't mean people type organizations, I mean organized data, light-wise.
Yeah.
That functions in different ways, meaning it presents different abilities, skills, talents, etc. But it has nothing to do, you know, in the sort of the way we are configured, the way we are each a drop, a particle, a fractal, a singularity. That has boundaries and needs to.
Right.
It is a particle that is maybe within the currents and the wave, or not maybe, but definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not what we're talking. I know you know this. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about the love light paradigm. It's not that mushy, weird thing. That'll just get fed off of, too. It's this other thing of, no, let the light take over and beam through the consciousness of the being that you are and see what happens. Because, you know, I can report that it's pretty good.
Well, it's good to hear that, you know. It's good to know that. And also, the other thing that I've discovered is that being multidimensional, something can be true on one level, and on another level, it isn't.
Yes.
So there's nothing that you can really hold as the truth, because it changes depending on the point of view or the perspective that you're looking from.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I had one of my first apprentices years ago now was a physics major at UC Berkeley. And he came up to very, very intelligent, you know, just really brilliant young man. And he came up to me one day after one of our meditations and said, "So I need to ask you this." I said, "Yes." And he said, "So in all these different dimensions, and if everything is different and everything is structured differently energetically," because he really got that. I mean, he understood in a way I never had. And showed it to me mathematically.
Wow.
How Yana Yoga and the Tai Chi Yin Yang symbol are exactly the same.
Wow.
And I watched him draw this out, and I'm like, brilliant, wow, okay. But he came up and said, "Well, so if this is true, if everything, every construct is different and all the rules are different," and he looked at me and he just had this like puppy dog expression. He said, "Then physics is a waste of time." Of course, this was his university major. And I said,
right.
Well, it's the Yoda answer. You know, that's like, well, from a certain point of view, yes. And he's like, "I thought so." That's great. I always remembered that. It was sweet.
Oh, that's fun. That was fun. And also, you know, I was reading something today on, I remember. It was how our ancestors are coded into our genetics. And so I had just been doing some work with holographic kinetics. And, you know, what was missing in the article was that, and also there are other things that are invisible
yes.
that go back thousands and thousands of years. So if you're not aware of those things and don't know how to access and remove them and change the timeline, then, you know,
yes,
you're kind of stuck with whatever contract or agreement the entity has created with you at that time.
Yes. Yes, and one of the things that this last obliteration point at the June solstice and these transits we're moving through this year, and I don't just mean astrological transits, I mean the energy stages, is it is possible, if your intent is aligned with it, for all of those agreements, contract commitments, vows, pledges, alliances, allegiances, whatever, to be shredded. I mean, if you so intend, just and you can say, "Show me," but I'm finding that it's moving so fast now that you can even just ask, you know, "Please move through, let the light move through, replace that, just obliterate it. And then whatever it is that I need to see or know, show me that."
Right, right.
And it's moving. These things are moving.
There seems to be, from my side, I hear a gaggle of static.
There was a little bit for a minute, but I'm not at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to assume that it's not going to affect our recording, and
okay.
I'm just kind of surrounding my area with some energy to blow that out.
Yes.
But,
okay.
We're almost at the end of the show anyway, so thank goodness. But it was interesting that it rose to a crescendo, and I could hardly hear you.
Oh.
And
okay.
You know that happens during these shows sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Something
yeah.
will just kind of step in, and it just kind of is an interference or distortion wave. But we're not going to worry about that.
Nope.
So we do have a couple minutes left, and I thought I would just leave that open for you to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, let's just see what Source wants to talk about, because I
right.
never want to talk about anything.
Oh, there we go.
What she's saying is it's important. We already mentioned this, but it's important the way people use their intent and their focus during this transit, that or just the rest of the incarnation. I mean, we're in a time where everything is changing. Everything is going to be different. But, I mean, when are we not in a time that's true?
Well, right.
You know, so
right.
This one's just really intense and focused. And some of us bought this ticket for
right.
this incarnation because it was going to get like this. These huge changes were possible. And she's talking a little bit about the concept of time, where in this world, the concept, the structure, the framework of time exists, like space-time, because you can't really have one without the other to have experience. And it doesn't exist in every world, and certainly not between them, as we know. And there's those expressions, you know, wasting time or time wastes you. And she's a little serious about this, and she's saying that let those go, because none of that is true. What time does is it creates a wave or, lion's tracks, trajectories, whatever, of inevitable change, inevitable motion, evolution, ascension, however you intend it. So the focus and the intentions are extremely, extremely important. You know, things we've mentioned, just sort of let, you don't want to ignore anything. You don't want to embrace the ostrich position. That's not good. But still, it's really placing the focus on the parts of the immersion in light, in love, etc., that just lift you up and give you joy, and spend more time doing those things. Really enjoy the rest of the incarnation. It isn't that not to take your enlightenment seriously, although I can barely say that sentence anymore without laughing, so you have to forgive me. Is that I'm gonna lose it,
right.
But anyway, it's not to not do the work or whatever, but the work has changed. And now it's a different muscle. It's the trust muscle, the immersion muscles. Think of the difference between yoga and swimming. They both rebuild the subtle body. They keep the subtle bodies very, very healthy. But they do it in very different ways. Yoga uses different static or flowing vinyasa positions with gravity as an ally. And swimming uses the water, the immersion in water, as an ally. They are both immersion activities with a different type of focus. One's not better than another. But the discernment that she's asking that all of us, anyone who's conscious, to use now is sort of what gives you the highest immersion quality for your focus and intention. And, give more time to that. Give more of this to that. Because this time will accelerate and amplify and create the changes according to that focus. Like I said, that's always true. It's just very amplified right now, which seems to sort of be her point.
Well, that's beautiful. And I've noticed in my own life that everything that I need is already here. And my greatest joy seems to be working in the garden with my plants and feeding them and watering them and picking the vegetables and talking to them. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun.
Isn't it great? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there are other things I could be doing too, but.
But you do the thing that's you've created that. You've created the resources there that give you joy.
Right.
I mean, remember the Wizard of Oz, right?
Yes.
There's no place like home.
No place like home, exactly. Exactly. Mm. Well, we're almost out of time, and I wanted you to have a moment to mention your website and where people can find your book.
Okay. The website is chaliceofwisdom.com. And that is where I have some digital products, they're sort of meditation and contemplation tools. I work a lot with sound and light, so there are a couple of programs there. I have a monthly mentoring program, which is really just the transmissions that help anyone to move into the light that they are,
Nice.
That's really the focus, is that we each are that light, and we express it in our own ways. And so to foster that unique expression of light. And the book is available through my website. It has its own page, the Walk a New Way page on the website. It's also available through Kindle on Amazon. It's e-published because I love my trees.
Right. That's a good point.
And it's just my way of doing that. It doesn't have to be everyone's. I love books. I love holding them. I love reading them. I even like the way they smell, but I also like trees. So this is published.
I agree, and it is a new way.
Yes, exactly. So the book is called Walk a New Way. Again, it's available on the website and on Amazon in PDF and Kindle formats. And hopefully, as the book announcement says, you know, may my journey speak to yours.
Beautiful. Well, I want to thank you for coming on again tonight, and I'll be having you back, of course. And I wanted to make a special thanks to David Manning for having introduced us, because he's such a wonderful person and way shower, and all the other wonderful things you can say.
Yes.
So, thank you, Nalini, for coming back, and I hope everybody gets the book, and I'm going to get it myself, so I can find out more about your experiences.
Yeah, well, if I didn't send you a copy, then I will now.
So. Oh, great. Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Okay.
All right. Until the next time, good night.
Bye-bye.